Let us open the Holy Scriptures to Luke chapter 2 and read the first 14 verses. Luke chapter 2. The Word of God. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Let us pray. Let's bring our offering. Beloved congregation, the text for the sermon is from Luke 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Beloved congregation, come with me, as it were, in the spirit, through the darkness of the night in the fields of Ephratah, close to Bethlehem, the old city of David. There in a valley, in between many hills, are shepherds with their sheep. In the town of Bethlehem, it's dark. Everyone is sleeping. But the shepherds are awake, and they are watching over their flocks. They are, we might say, on historic grounds. Long ago, there was a shepherd boy by the name of David, round this very spot, keeping watch over his father's flock. And he was singing. Remember the song he was singing? The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me. And earlier, before David, there was a young woman in that very same area. Her name was Ruth. And she had been gleaning grain in that area, left there by the harvesters in the field of, remember, the farmer Boaz. And listen to what the prophet Micah said in Micah chapter 5. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel. Israel should know that David's son, Ruth's grandson, as it were, the Messiah, was to be born nearby in these very fields of Ephrata. All of a sudden, an angel from heaven appeared to these shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and the shepherds were sore afraid. Why shouldn't they be? Because someone of heaven was coming down to them, appeared to them, and was bringing the glory of God in with him. And he spoke in, I take it, a friendly voice. And he spoke to them. That was noteworthy. Here was a messenger from heaven, from God, surrounded by the glory of God. What did he say? He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This special day has come now. David's great son, long expected, the Savior, is born unto you this day, not far from here, in the city of David. Christ the Lord. These were the only words the angel spoke. You could call those words a very brief or concise sermon from the messenger of heaven. But the content of that concise message was so significant, is still so significant, and was so overwhelming to them. May it be overwhelming to you and me also today. That concise sermon, you could say, was a birth announcement consisting of two parts. Verses 10 and 11, and then in verse 12, it gave directions. So it was a birth announcement with directions attached to it. That's how you could think of the sermon of the angel. An announcement and directions. And you could say that every good sermon is very similar. It's a sermon that makes an announcement of two parts. And it gives directions. It's an announcement of what God has been doing and is doing. And it's giving spiritual directions that flow from what God is doing. And that's how we'll hear at this morning, congregation. And especially I'll focus on the second part then. The directions in verse 12, which is our text. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And as the bulletin has already written it out for you, the theme is you shall find the babe. The gift of a Savior, the guidance by a sign, and the glory of the surety. So you shall find the babe, the gift of a Savior, the guidance by a sign, and then the glory of the surety, a gift of a Savior. I've been thinking, congregation, that the children, in a sense, will understand the text better than us grown-ups, than we grown-ups do. If you say today to a child, I have a gift for you, then the child looks right away, where do you have your gift? And if he or she doesn't see your gift, then she says, where is it? When you visit someone, somebody who's a grown-up, and you say to him or her, I have a gift for you, then he doesn't say, where do you have it? A grown-up often is, what do you say, more refined? Maybe not. Cultured. And all he says or she says is, that's nice of you. And if you would say nothing more, and you just have a lovely conversation, and you would leave a little later, and you would not have left the gift, then he would have thought, well, must have forgotten it. But that's fine. You didn't want to say, where is your gift? Because you say, that would be rude. But children don't think that that's rude. They say, where is it? Give it to me. And that's how it really is. In our text, the angel had brought this message to the shepherds in a way that was addressed to the shepherds. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then notice the angel doesn't leave it just there. Imagine that would have been all that he would have said. Behold, I bring great tidings, good tidings of great joy to you, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Jesus, which is Christ the Lord. And he would have gone. Then he would have said everything that there was to be said, in a sense, wasn't there? But he didn't stop there. He went on. He said, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And notice how he puts it. He doesn't say, now go and look for this child. Where would they have gone then? But notice that he assumes that they will go to this child. Because that's how he puts it. He says, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And if he had not put it that way, that would have been much more difficult for the shepherds. If the long-expected Messiah had been born, and they would know where he was. But the angel pointed the way, and presumed they would go there. And that's a lesson for us, isn't there, congregation? The tidings of salvation should stir us to go and seek Christ. Do you remember that one day when Christ was a grown man, he was sitting by the well in Samaria, and a woman came to him, and there was that conversation. And remember that Jesus at one time said to the woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to me, give me a drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's how it is. You see, why are there so many people in Abbotsford, or maybe all of Canada, so many people who today hear of the gift of God, but they never go and seek that gift? How come there are, in a sense, so few that knock and seek and ask? Isn't it because many people know the message, but they don't know their need of the Savior? In the days when Jesus was born, many people were looking, were seeking, passionately seeking a kingdom of peace. And many had been believing that Caesar Augustus would usher in that kingdom. And others were seeking for other things, happiness, possessions, a better life, and the like. It's like you and I get so many cards in the mail, don't we?
or on email. We get so many things sent to us. A free gift. And we just put it with the recycling. We don't even bother to open. We kind of know what's all in there. It might be some free supplement given to you, but you don't think you need it. You dispose of it. Now, if the tithing of great joy had been brought to the angels, not to the shepherds, if the great tithing of joy had been brought to the angels, the good angels that had not fallen away from God, those angels, if given permission, they would have gone, would they not have, to seek Him. But this tithing was not brought to angels, but it was brought to men, to shepherds of themselves, lost in sin, and by their sin on the way to hell, eternal perdition. If they would live without the Savior, the only surety and mediator. And anybody who does not seek for this Savior is a fool. And anybody who delays to seek for this Savior is also a fool. Anybody who thinks tomorrow is a better time to do it. No, the message of Christ requires haste. As we read in verse 16, that the shepherds, after they had heard the message, didn't stay with their flocks, but said, let's come, let's go, with haste. And they came. All children, young people, I already said that you, in a sense, may understand better what I'm saying from the scriptures than us grown-ups. You all know the basic message of the birth of Christ, don't you? Jesus Christ came into this world to save His people from their sins. That's why He was born in a stable and laid in a manger so long ago. What was that baby in a manger? He was God's gift from heaven. For whom? For poor and needy sinners. Like you and me. But you know, if your parents tell you that they have a present for you, and you simply shrug your shoulders and you say, I don't need that present. Why don't you keep it for next year, Mom? Then Mom will say, okay, then you won't get it. And maybe she puts it not in her bedroom, but she puts it somewhere else. Or maybe says, okay, I'll give it to somebody else. And in a sense, that's how it is with the gift Jesus sent from God in heaven. And if you live your life on this earth and you never see your need of Jesus to pardon your sins, and you simply think, I don't need Jesus. Oh, maybe when I get older, I do. Then this gift of God is still not yours. Because then you are not like the shepherds who immediately after the announcement and the directions given went to seek the Savior because they desperately knew their need of the Savior. Listen to their voices in this passage. We didn't read it, but I wrote it down. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. God took care of their sheep, and they came with haste.
they hadn't done that.
They would never have seen Jesus. But they had seen the messenger, and they had heard what he had said to them. And they said, "Let's go." And they obeyed immediately. What is that? That's conversion, isn't it?
Well, maybe you say it's an outward conversion.
That's conversion, isn't it? It's not displayed by feeling as much as it is displayed by doing. They went to baby Jesus. They were drawn to him. Where Christ was, they wanted to be. They wanted to see for themselves who? The incarnate deity. The change in values for these men, these shepherds, was becoming immediately apparent. And so it always goes in conversion, congregation. God's Spirit does what? He takes the scale from your eyes. And he shows you the vanity of your life and the misery of your life and the impossibility of your life without this gift of God's Son, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And then you need instruction, you need directions, and you desire the directions, and you welcome the instruction as the angel continued to give it. And we see that in our second point, the guidance by a sign. The angel said to the shepherds, "This shall be a sign unto you." I already said, if the angel had only had said to them, "And you shall find the babe. Bye." And they went. Where? They would look for it. But where? Well, Bethlehem. But where? Maybe that same night another baby was born in Bethlehem. We don't know. But how would they have known where this baby, Jesus, was? That's why the angel said, "And this shall be a sign to you." Now let's think for a moment about the value of a sign. What's meant by a sign? A sign is a signpost or a picture that's meant to give instruction, sometimes a warning, like a red flag by stormy water. Is a sign, isn't it? Danger! That kind of a thing. Or this way, the signpost reads. Sometimes the street has a sign that indicates that the cars are allowed to go only in one direction. And then you have a sign that kind of points up one way. The angel gave the shepherds a sign by which they would recognize the Savior whom the angel had proclaimed. Listen again. "And this shall be a sign unto you." Actually, in the original, it says, "This shall be the sign." Not just any sign. "This shall be the sign to you." That's what God does. God never says, "Oh, simply look for a sign and then follow it. You'll find it." Sometimes people talk that way. They say, "If only I had a sign." And then they attach so much significance to a sign. And then maybe nothing but superstition. But God's signs are not like that. And think about the value of this sign. What was this sign that God gave to the shepherds? What was it? A manger. A feeding trough and a baby lying in it, wrapped in swaddling cloths, in little strips of cloth. A baby lying in a feeding trough. That's the sign by which the shepherds would recognize the Savior. And maybe now you begin to see the value of this sign. This sign is part of the message. This sign is part of the message. And that message goes against our natural thinking. Is your and my thinking, my nature, not like this? That if God would send his son from heaven as a baby, well, then he would have to be born in a palace. And then he would have to be dressed in the fanciest baby clothes. And then he would have had to be laid into the most expensive cradle. But that's not the sign that God gave to the shepherds. I wrote down the following from Calvin's commentary on this. It's a little old language, forgive me. What mockery is it that he whom God has sent to be the King and the only Savior is seen lying in a manger? That's what Calvin says. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. That the mean and despicable condition in which Christ was might not deter the shepherds from believing in Christ, the angel tells them beforehand what they would see. The Savior is laid where? Into misery. The poverty and the misery of a sinner. Specifically a feeding trough. Jesus at his birth had to be content with the habitation of animals because there was no room for him in human society. And the shepherds could understand this language. They knew what was meant by that. They knew that a manger was a feeding trough for a flock of sheep inside the shelter. And this stable may have been, we don't know, may have been a cave used to provide accommodation for sheep, because caves were sometimes used as housing for sheep for overnight. And then people would build a little home close to it, to such a cave. That's the picture, maybe. And Mary, under God's guidance, and Joseph had chosen this cave, this place, for baby Jesus to be born and to be laid into a manger to provide shelter for Jesus. And now the angel is telling these shepherds and guiding them in a way that the shepherds could understand, and in a way that the shepherds could not go wrong. The angel was saying to the shepherds, you shall find him in the greatest poverty, in your greatest poverty. How noteworthy. Is there anyone here who needs spiritual direction? Who here is seeking to find the Lord Jesus? Perhaps you can say that you have already found him. Now this morning God's word is telling you, seek him where? Seek him in your greatest poverty. Don't try to put on some nicer clothes in order to find Jesus. Don't go to the nobility of the world to find Jesus. Don't go to the politicians of our nation. Don't go to the colleges or the universities in our city. Don't go to the self-help groups in our community. Don't go to the malls in our city. In none of these places you will find Jesus. If you are seeking Jesus, seek Him first of all, and most of all, in your own poverty. That's our poverty, that we as children of Adam have become wanderers and sinners. God has driven us out of the Garden of Eden. And even now the strength of the days of our years is labor and sorrow, as Psalm 90 puts it. So this angel says, as it were, to these shepherds, you shepherds are on the bottom rung of society, outside the city, outside the town, outside the community, despised. But you don't need to don your robes and try to enter a palace or a temple, for the Savior is there in your poverty and curse. You shall find the babe. And now here is the test for you and me this morning, congregation. Does this gospel offend you? Does this gospel offend you? You see, there are so many people in this world who are at the bottom, but they still think that their hope will come from some higher rung of society. And they're hoping that somehow they themselves will be able to climb up a few rungs. And to them, a Savior who is even lower than themselves is an offense to them. And that's the same in the church congregation. There are people in church who are offended by a Savior who would meet them in their shame, in the cursed country of their poverty. It doesn't suit them. It's too humbling for them. But the gospel is coming to you and to me this morning and is asking you, have you learned to agree with this judgment of God over your life? Have you come to acknowledge that you are to be blamed for all this misery? Regard it then as the greatest miracle that the Son of God has come to this earth to visit you there where you are by your sin, in your wretchedness. You're being far from God, because then this sign is already a glorious message to you, as we will see in our third point, our final point, the glory of the surety. I already hinted at it a moment ago. Imagine that the gospel of Christmas had ended with verse 11, congregation, with the words, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. Imagine that had been the end. Then we would have a wonderful truth in the Scriptures. But what then would you say? Then you would maybe say what Job said. Job, remember, the sufferer. Job said on one occasion, oh, that I knew where I might find him. And sad to say, there are so many who live with that thought, if I only knew where to find him. But the truth does not live with them. They have neither sought nor found the Savior. But the glory of the gospel is that the message doesn't stop at verse 11, but goes on to verse 12. And ye shall find the babe. Now think of that, the babe. The baby. Do you hear the promise? You shall find, no doubt, that those who seek the babe shall find. True faith will never be sent away empty-handed. No shepherd from Bethlehem who went looking for this Christ child in obedience to the word of the angel, following the directions given, was disappointed. Ye shall find. Moreover, you shall find a babe. A baby? Yes. Not someone whom you might fear, but a baby. And your heart will go out to that baby. For who is he? He's come from heaven. Assumed flesh and blood from Mary through the Holy Spirit. And he has come to do what? To live your life over again from the very beginning. You shall find the babe. The babe. Imagine that the angel has said, you shall find the Lord. The shepherds might have lingered with anxiety. The Lord? Imagine the angel has said, and you shall find the King from heaven. They might have said, let's stay with the sheep. And if the angel had said, and you shall find the Word made flesh, then maybe a shepherd would have said, don't know what that means. I need to study theology first. No, the angel's message is, and you shall find the baby. And who is he? The Savior. The surety. The mediator. Because that's what that word babe refers to. Jesus, the surety for his people. He must live our life over again from conception unto birth. And then live it all the way to the cross. Outside the city of God. And thence the poverty of the manger and the poverty of this baby. For Paul later would write, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Isn't that something? You shall find the babe. Remember that later Jesus would say, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Even think of the poverty of those swaddling clothes, congregation. You probably know that those swaddling clothes, they were really stripes of cloth wrapped around this newborn body. Some have commented that these swaddling cloth, these stripes of cloth, were very much like later on his grave clothes. And you will know that they would wrap grave clothes around those who had died and then laid them in their tombs. And we read that of Jesus at the end of his life. And certainly it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ had entered into this life, which is nothing but a continuing death, as we confess in our form for baptism. And Christ had come to suffer and to die and to be the surety of sinners, for sinners. Christ had come into absolute wretchedness. And would he then not be willing to come into your wretched life? And when he comes, nothing is ready to receive him, neither to embrace him. There is only a heart by nature, there is only a heart of enmity against God and against his Christ. But the gospel of Christ Jesus tells us so plainly, you are not too foul for this Christ. You are not too poor for this Christ. You have not fallen too far away from God for this Christ. You shall find the babe, the surety. All you need and I need in order to be able to stand before God is in this babe, is in this Christ. And if you acknowledge that you are one of them, then you may know that Christ is approachable to you. He wants to be your surety. He goes the hard and the heavy way from the manger all the way to the cross in order to give to his Father the glory that I've kept from God the Father, that you have kept from God the Father. And in order to lead a lost and an in sin entangled child of Adam into the blessed communion with his Father, for that he bore the punishment. He gave, as he would say later himself, his life a ransom for many. You shall find the babe, but this baby will also do something. If he was willing to wear the rags of my life as a sinner, would he then not be willing to clothe me with the festive robe of his righteousness? If he was willing to be born in the beast house of my heart, would I then not be willing to dwell in the Father's house with the many mansions through him? Would you then not go along with the shepherds? Ah, maybe someone thinks, my heart, my life is so wretched, Pastor. Well, listen, Christ was laid into a wretched place right from the start. Ah, but my marriage is such, is so in pieces. My family, what a mess. Listen, Christ's first home after birth was pieces, pieces of cloth in a manger. Yes, but you don't understand, Pastor. I'm too unclean and vile. But I just said it, Christ's first resting place as a baby was in the unclean feeding trough. You shall find the babe. You shall find him there. Sometime I heard children sing a song, maybe you know it. I didn't know it. But they sang it over and again. And part of the words were, 'Twas a humble birthplace. But oh, how much God gave us that day. That's precisely it. Here is a Savior who is approachable to everyone who needs his sins and his guilt to be atoned for. Here is no place where you first have to show letters of good recommendation. No, rather, here is a place where an open door invites all sinners to come with no other plea than your sin and your guilt. And the richer grace we receive, the humbler our hearts will become before God and men. And where those two go together, the riches of his grace and the humbleness of the sinner, there you find salvation in this baby, the salvation of this surety babe, which is Christ the Lord. Amen.